This is Father David Celery with this week's focus, A Servant's Heart. Dear friends, Jesus sure does take all the fun out of being a sanctimonious hypocrite. The priests and the scribes, well, they were living the high life, strutting and preening, soaking up honors, decked out in splendor. The servants of the Lord, well, they had become the masters of the people. Sure, they were scriptural riz kids, but where was the love? They were star performers of ritual, but their praise, well, it was hollow. They were the arbiters of right and wrong, but their real job was extortion and self-aggrandizement. They had the brains, but not the heart. They used their offices to coerce, not to serve. Then Jesus enters Jerusalem in triumph and finds the seat of Moses has become a hotbed of sacrilege. The gentle Jesus, who loved the lowly and sought out sinners, despises their corruption with a wrath that God reserves for the grotesque abuse of priestly privilege. He calls them fools, hypocrites, blind guides, vipers, whited sepulchers. Jesus rips into the filth that fouls God's house. But Jesus didn't come to carp or to scold. He came to save. So he clearly points out the path to healing repentance, instructing all who have the will to hear that he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew's gospel is known as a gospel of instruction, and repetition is the essence of instruction. From the Sermon on the Mount all the way to Calvary, Jesus repeats the lesson of this Sunday's gospel, sometimes in Beatitudes, yes, sometimes in parables, and finally, in blunt, straight talk. Whoever wants to be first must first become a servant. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. Without fanfare, often without even notice, every day our parish, our town, our country benefit from the sacrifices of selfless servant heroes. Right here in Salisbury, night after night, my colleagues in the volunteer ambulance and fire company spend their lives on standby, waiting for an emergency call that almost always comes at the least convenient time. Then rushing to help victims of traffic accidents, heart attacks and fires. Total strangers or next door neighbors, all are treated alike. All are treated just like family. In this year of hurricanes and wildfires, we've all seen the servant spirit on dramatic display. We've seen it in our own extended family. Our cousin, Anna Torres, has a servant's heart too. With storms bearing down on the Caribbean, she has, like so many times before, put herself in harm's way to serve others. She's a dutiful wife, mother, and grandmother. She loves her family and enjoys the comforts of her gracious home in Scarsdale. But when the Red Cross calls, Anna drops everything, grabs her bag, and goes where she's most needed. As a veteran volunteer, her only compensation for service, well, is the service itself. Knowing that she's where God wants her to be, doing his work, serving his people, witnessing his love. In all that coverage of the Ebola outbreak a few years back, I'm thinking that a major piece of the story was missing. Why? What compels our fellow Americans to travel halfway around the world to put their lives in danger working in hellish conditions? How do we explain this behavior by folks who are supposed to be part of the me generation? It's certainly not for the pay, and it's not to pad their resumes. You see, this week's gospel, I think, gives the answer. The first two U.S. cases of Ebola were medical missionaries serving in the Samaritan's Purse ministry. The love of Christ had called them to serve our African brothers and sisters in pain and, yes, in peril. In redefining greatness as servanthood, Jesus has turned the whole social order on its head. The first become last. The last are suddenly first. Reflecting on this revolution at the heart of Christianity, Henry Nouwen writes, "Our God is a servant God. We're liberated by someone who became powerless. We're strengthened by someone who became weak. We find a leader in someone who became a servant. My friends, it's that simple. To follow Jesus, to become a Christian, well, is to become a servant, to volunteer, to help, to give of yourself. Unlike the proud priests and scribes in this week's gospel, becoming a true servant means purging ourselves of vanity, resentments, jealousies, all the self-centered junk that crowds out peace and excludes serenity. God will send no one away empty, except those who remain full of themselves, so that there's no room for grace. To have a servant's heart is to have a rich heart, overflowing, rich in grace, rich in hope, rich in the love of Jesus Christ. A servant's heart, a happy heart. That's what I pray for you, for me, for all of God's beloved. You see, it's the closest thing to heaven that we'll have here on earth. This has been Father David Celery with this week's Focus. To learn more, visit me at davidcelery.org or follow me on Facebook, iTunes, or Twitter. God love you.